draw closer to you. Yes, closer to you, Lord. Closer, I pray. Help me draw closer to your will. Closer to you. Yes, closer to you, Lord. Closer, I pray. Yes, help me draw closer to your will.
Others may do.
Oh, yes,
I want to. back in church tonight. Appreciate. I hope everyone's got your electricity back on. I don't know how many of you were without electricity, but I would say probably the majority of us, huh? For several days. I don't know if y'all have had that, Brother Anderson, in Jacksonville or not, but it's something that doesn't happen. We didn't think it happened to Little Rock very often, but anyway, we had a storm Christmas Day that knocked out all of our electricity. I think there was like almost 500,000 people without electricity in the Metroplex for about a week nearly. So anyway, I'm glad it makes you appreciate electricity, doesn't it? I guess everybody's back on. I hope you are. But got several sick out tonight. Brother Al, Sister Elsie, Sister Karen Golden, Brooklyn, Blake, very sick, they say. Al's down with his back, got a cold. Sister Elsie's still having trouble with her. And then some are still out of town. It's good to see Brother Johnson back home, though. Missed him. And I'll try to get I've got the information, I think, on, didn't we get the letter in from about the Ducoin youth meeting? Since we had the storm, it knocked our youth out of getting to go to Mount Carmel. So some have asked about the information on Ducoin. I'll get you that information. Huh? You have it where? All right. We'll get you all that information. Anyway, it's good to have Brother and Sister Anderson. Leland, Sister Andrea, is that right? And then Eric, where's it? There he is. See, he's the second man in the house. So you have to name him first, even though he's younger than the girls. But and then Sister Smith. You sure got a good name. Anyway, this is Brother Finnicum's sister, I think. Isn't that right? Of course, they're here for the same funeral. Brother and Sister Finnicum came far. We sure enjoyed having them with us Sunday night, didn't we? They were a blessing. Brother Finnicum, he's a preacher. And they say, you know, that there's only two kind of preachers that makes other preachers want to preach, and that's one that can and one that can't. And if they can't, well, you want to fix what they did or what they said, and if they can, it inspires you. Brother Finnicum's one that can. So I know you were inspired. We were blessed to have him with us, and we're blessed to have the Andersons and Sister Smith with us tonight. So we're glad you considered us. You could have just came and went to the funeral and went back home. But we can sure put you up if you need a place to stay. I don't know if you've got that taken care of, but we can help you if you need help. Anyway, I'm just glad to seem like, you know, we missed some services with the bad weather and all, and didn't have a watch night service. So Happy New Year, everybody. I'm glad you made it into a new year. And if you had some things you wanted to say about last year, you can still say them tonight or this coming weekend. We still are are open for your input. I'm thankful for, I'm still here. appreciated these songs that Sister Cindy was playing that was encouraging us to apply more dedication. Evidently was her thought for this year. And okay. All right. Well, maybe we better pray Andrew and Brittany's little boy, Connor, is taking him to the hospital, and he's went into convulsions, and they don't know exactly what's wrong with him. So they're asking us to have special prayer. So maybe we can pray for these that, you know, this special request, and then these that I've mentioned. Any other requests, Brother Stewart? Yes, Mother Mark Boyd and his family sick. Remember the Goldens. I just mentioned them, Sister Holly. Benton Harbor. Let's remember that, Sister Lisa. Sister Sandra's out. Sister, remember Sister Wilkins. There are just several that are out sick. Sister. Hannah. All right. Elisha and Hannah. Remember them. Oh, Sophia. Okay. All right. The little baby. Yes. Sister Wilkins, yes. Just remember that. All right, lady that works with Brother Mike Smith is real sick with pulmonary embolism. All right, this urgent need, we don't know what's wrong with Connor, but anyway, let's pray. They say he's non-responsive right now. Let's all stand and ask God. Remember Brother David Angelo in your prayers also. Precious God, oh Savior, Lord Jesus, precious Lord, dear God, touch this baby, Lord, tonight. This urgent need, God, touch him. Preserve his little life, Lord. Help Andrew and Brittany, God, during this time. Touch the doctors and help them, oh God. All of these that are sick that we've mentioned tonight, Jesus, oh God. Help us, oh Lord. God, we're your needy children. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, touch these saints. Their needs and situations, Lord, denied. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, precious Lord. We're leaning on you, Lord, for your help and assistance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Lord. Oh, God, blessed be the Lamb of God. Amen, amen. All right. Appreciated the song we were singing about being a pillar in the house of the Lord. That song, God's blessed that song in the last few years in the body, and just makes you have the feeling that the Lord's, when God shows a covering on a song and blesses it, among the people and in meetings for quite a lengthy time, it just helps you to know that this is something God's interested in. God's talking to us about. And of course, I know everyone knows what a pillar is. You know, it's what supports the building. And evidently, that song was inspired of God, and it made me think tonight of those two pillars that Solomon, when he built the temple in the 7th chapter of 1 Kings, and he put two pillars on the porch before entering the holy place, and he named one of them Jachin, wasn't it, and the other one Boaz. Boaz was, I think, you might, I hadn't looked at it in a while, but I think it was on the right, and it meant strength. And here is strength, and Jachin meant it is established. Of course, you've got to have strength. And, you know, to help hold up the building of God. I've read that scripture in 1 Peter 5 where he said, "Now the Lord God of our, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ make you perfect after you've suffered a while," he said. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And of course, I put quite a bit of emphasis on just getting settled because I realize how long it takes for some people to get settled, to get it settled in their mind, in their spirit, that they're committed to God. You can be committed to a lot of things, but of course, all of these things that Peter mentioned, I know that those men of God back there were just as explicit in what they were putting in before the people. He wasn't just, you know, throwing out words, but he knew that it was going to take suffering to be perfected, to be made perfect. He knew you'd have to be established before you could be made perfect. He knew it would take strength to be established, and he knew it would take getting settled before you could move forward in God. It's sort of, he sort of goes backwards because his point is that God, after he's worked a process in your life, that he would make you perfect. And that process starts with being settled. I know, because it's part of my testimony. I know how long it took me to get settled. I've heard me give my testimony about after I came to the body of Christ. I know I was unstable, even though I was a minister called of God and had been in church for many years and even been working in the gospel and for several years. But when I came to the body, I began to hear things I'd never heard before, that I realized that I really wasn't settled. I didn't have enough doctrinal understanding that would really get me settled. And I remember after some time and putting this message together in my mind, you know, getting the pieces of the puzzle together enough in my mind that I had an understanding, a greater understanding of what God was doing, what he really called us for, what he sent Jesus to this world for, and what our hope, the hope of our calling is. And I remember that after I came to a conclusion in my understanding of the calling of God and the purpose of God, one day I realized that I'm really settled in this being the body of Christ and what the calling of God is and what his purpose was in Christ and what Christ's purpose is in me. I realize that I'm really more settled than I've ever been in my life. I started singing that song. I was going down the road by myself. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'd sang that I don't know how many times, but I knew that I had really decided. I remember there was such an anointing in that vehicle with me. I felt like the Lord was sitting there on the seat with me. I felt so settled. And I don't know if I can relate. I don't know if you all can relate to what I'm saying, because I know how many years from the time I was 12 years old when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost until I was probably 28 years old, something like that, wouldn't you say, hon? Maybe 30. I guess I'd probably 30 when that happened to me. Maybe 30, huh? We lived in Midland. We just moved there. Maybe mid-30s, she's saying this. Time gets by, And Brother Stewart told me, I said, who is them people out there? I knew this body people. He said, well, that's Brother Anderson. He said, you stayed in his home one time. He knows you. I said, no, I don't remember staying in his home. I said, the guy's home I stayed in, I thought in my mind, I thought he was a young man that I stayed with. He didn't have any gray hair. But how long's that been, Brother Anderson? Probably 15 years. It's been a long time since I stayed in anybody's home in Jacksonville. In fact, that's the only home I've stayed in Jacksonville, except for Brother Dahl's. Stayed in it a few times. But I do remember you taking me out to eat the last day that I was there. At a fish place, I remember that. But I just remember how I felt. But all those years that I felt so unsettled, I knew I loved God. I knew I had the Holy Ghost. I knew that I believed in Jesus. But I didn't have a very great understanding. I didn't understand perfection. I didn't understand the bride. I didn't understand that the Bible that I was reading wasn't always talking to me, that it was talking to people that lived 2,000 years ago, and I needed to fit in. Where does this fit for me? In fact, there's still some men in the body, I think, don't understand that some of this was written 2,000 years ago to people back there, and you can't apply those scriptures. Brother Clyde Patton said one time, I remember at the campground, he said, you're reading somebody else's mail. Some of it's for you, but some of it's other people's mail. You're going to have to get in there, dig deeper, and find out what part of it's talking to me. And then he told a story about buying a 1950 Ford, and he opened a, he was going down the road, and him and his wife opened the glove box and pulled out a letter that was in there, and she pulled it out and started reading it. And said that Dear Elmer, said, it's been a while since I've heard from you. Said, Maylene and Catherine and the boys are doing fairly well. He said, we didn't know who Elmer, Maylene, or the boys, or Catherine, or any of them was. Said, then the letter went on talking about what a bad year that they had had, what had happened to the house, how it got off of its foundation and part of it had fell and the walls cracked and they had to get somebody to come. And old Blue died last spring and that really hurt the boys. He said, we didn't know if Blue was a dog or a horse or who he was. He said, when you're reading somebody else's mail, you don't always get everything what they're, what's going on. Anyway, I remember he made a pretty good point with me, you know, to realize that some of these scriptures, I think we can apply the scripture that I'm using in 1 Peter that he was writing to the Gentiles after Paul's demise, but he was writing to them. But this gospel is for you and I also, and we can apply it to us. But there's some things in here we can't apply to us until we've got a greater restoration of the church is going to have to take place before some of it can apply to us. But you can apply this that I'm talking to you about tonight, that you're going to have to get settled. And I know there's several of you that are settled. And then you're going to have to be strengthened even more especially to be a pillar. And I really do believe that God's blessed that song and this body enough years that we ought to consider that God's talking to us in this song. I don't know who wrote it. I think one of those sisters in Houston, wasn't it? One of those sisters wrote that song, but it's blessed in meetings and in individual churches. It's become one of our main songs for the last few years. It still blesses every time we sing it. It inspires you to want to. There's something about that song that makes you want to do whatever it is God wants you to do and become stronger that God can use you. And I would, you know, I want to not only encourage you, but I want to encourage myself. What it takes to for God to make a pillar, for God to really get you settled. It will take an understanding. You can't get settled without an understanding. You can't get settled on, you know, there's a lot of things that we get in this body that we know when we first come to God. It takes repentance. It takes making up your mind that I'm going to serve God. But just because you make up your mind you're going to serve Him doesn't mean you're settled on that. It just means that God pricked your heart and you felt the need to obey the Scriptures and repent. Because God quickened you. That you need repentance. You need to get your sins forgiven. And you need to get your life turned over to God. And you need to make a commitment of that. When you do that, you're not settled. If you think you are, just wait a little while. Wait till you run into some bumps. And you find out, I'm going to have more than what I've got to make it. And, but when God finally, I remember this experience I'm telling you about that I had. I remember it was so real to me that I felt like I'm not unstable. I didn't realize that God had fixed me in a place that I was really settled, Brother Tally, is settled in my mind. It was settled that I had found the body of Christ. I was settled on my vision of what we understand in the Scriptures, that it's going to take perfection to make the bride of Christ. It's going to take dying out to sin. And all of that, if you just talk about that, that sounds, demanding it's a law being put before us, and you'll have to come to a place to realize that you can't overcome sin keeping a law. You can't overcome sin keeping a standard or any kind of law or any kind of commandment. But you can't overcome without it. The commandments and our standards and commandments are statutes that keep our flesh in control while God works this process of transformation in our lives. But when God gets done with you, you won't have to keep a law. It'll be part of your character. It'll be part of your very being. You'll think like God. You'll think righteous thoughts. And you won't do things that are not righteous. You won't, it won't be in your thinking. It won't be in your spirit. Of course, your spirit is a manifestation of your thoughts. It's just, until your thoughts get lined out, your spirit's not going to be right. That's just all there is to it. But for God to really get it settled in your life, I'm looking for something to happen. I was talking to Brother Finnecombe. We went out to eat after service the other night, and then we went out for breakfast the next morning, he and I and our wives, and I was talking to him about young people. Of course, Brother Finnecombe's, his main thrust and message is on family life and young people and relationships. And so and I was just talking to him about how it's different today. All of our young people today, not only young people, but all of us, but particularly our young people are carrying the world's burdens. When I was a young man, I didn't know what was going on outside of the town I lived in, hardly. We didn't pick up on the news and the state and all that. And, now we know what's going on all over the world. If there's a tsunami or some sort of disaster or war, we're hearing about it on a daily basis. Now they've come up with Facebook. And so now you know what everybody's problems are. You know what makes everybody happy if you're following them on Facebook. I really think you can, if you're not careful, you can get your life filled up with a bunch of nothing. A bunch of stuff that you can't do nothing about. It's just a bunch of stuff that just occupies your mind and your time. But you got to look at it. You got to see what's happening next. And it's going to take some discipline to focus on what God's called you for. I don't think we're going to get you to do away with it. I don't think we're going to do away with Facebook. We were in a meeting, I can't remember what it was. It hadn't been over a year, hardly, I don't think, that one of the brethren mentioned. He said, I want to know where we're at on Facebook. He said, I'm telling all my people, if you're on my platform and you're on Facebook, get off my platform. I said, you just emptied your platform. I said, we can't do away with Facebook. I said, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. It's what you do on it. How much of it you're letting it occupy your life. It's kind of like computers. You can't do away with computers, but you can sure use them wrong. It takes, what did Paul say? He that is of a full age discerns good and evil. It takes discernment to know, you know, what is evil? Where do you draw the line on evil? I remember hearing Brother Jeff Ingram's buddy, Mike Tucker. I remember Brother Mike talking one night in service about Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts. You know, he said, that's good, but it ain't got nothing to do with God. There's some good in it, but, you know, and he talked on it for a while. I thought, I never even thought of this stuff he's talking about. It's been years ago, but it made me think, you know, that God told Adam, don't eat of the good, of the tree of good and evil. Don't eat the good or the evil. He's talking about your mind, your ability, your will, your desires. Don't get involved, but eat of the tree of life. You know, focus on the things of God. Don't focus on what man's doing and fill your life with humanism. Made me think. You know, I thought, wow, he's narrowing it down. But God has got to, see, God is going to have to establish these things in our lives, in our hearts. You're going to have to get close enough to him. And 30 minutes before church on Wednesday night, how many of you got on your knees this week before tonight? You know, it's going to take more than just a little few minutes of prayer. We're doing that to put a little bit of habit and the knowledge of the need of prayer in your life. But if we're really going to get strength, after we're established, or settled, I mean, once we get settled, I'm going this way. This is my people. This is what God's doing. I have the witness from the Lord in my life that this is what He's called me to. I'm settled. I've got enough understanding about my vision that I'm settled. But then you'll have to get strength. God will have to strengthen you with how to get this working in your life, how you're going to get the operation of God's Word where it's really becoming a part of you. It's not just a statute. It's not just a commandment. It's not just a standard. Because you can't, you know, if you measure your righteousness by all of the laws that preachers put out, you know, and you're doing those things and you're thinking I'm righteous because I'm doing them. You know, you can put on the strongest standard there is in the body and be the most self-righteous hypocrite that there is. It's not in that we're doing it, but it has to be we're doing it because it's righteous. It's the righteousness of God that He's worked in us. He's gave us an understanding of it. It's become a part of our thinking. We we've got a discernment of what God loves and what God will favor and what is right, really righteous. And God will have to give you the strength of more knowledge and more understanding for that to begin to, the operation of that, to really begin to work in your life. Just because you get a vision, it's like getting knowledge. They say, oh, I see. But when you put that knowledge to work, you know, there's an understanding. You're starting to understand, but it's not really part of you until the workmanship. You know, we are His workmanship. His grace imparted. And that takes time, but sometimes I just feel like I don't think it, sometimes it takes as much time as we allow. I think really you can bear down and accomplish more than, you know, if, you know, in other words, how fast do you want to go? That's one of the things that I'm watching for our young people. I can't make our young people do anything. I can't impart anything to them. Well, I might can. Paul said, he told the Romans, he said, I want to be with you that I might impart some spiritual gift. And I know he was talking about understanding. He wanted to impart understanding. But just because you impart understanding doesn't mean people get, that they really get that working in their lives. It's going to take God to do that. But it's going to take something on our parts to yield to God so where He can do that. Because He won't force this on you. But I do know God will stir you up. When it's time, God will start stirring up people. When it was time for God to free the children of Israel from Babylon, he started stirring up men. He stirred up Nehemiah. He stirred up Ezra. He stirred up Zerubbabel. And he stirred these men up and put it in their minds. I mean, Nehemiah had been the cupbearer of the king for quite a while, just going along doing fine. But all of a sudden, it came to him. It had to be God dealing with him. He began to look into the situation of the temple in Jerusalem and what all had happened to the people. But you know, God put that in his mind, stirred him up on that, and he began to get a feeling from God about that. And that's what I don't know, but I somehow or another, I know you young people know I can't quit talking about it. But I just am looking for God to stir up some young people. It's going to take God, I know that, but I know there's going to be a telltale mark when God does that. God starts, because I really believe that if Jesus could come in the end of the Jewish world, and that world was corrupt, it was as corrupt as this one is for its day, and even though they didn't have the modernization, it was still corrupt. And God began to stir up people. I was thinking about today. These guys that God chose for Jesus to find to make the 12 apostles of the early church. I mean, these guys were uneducated. They were not theologians. I don't even know if they were really settled on Judaism. We don't have any history. We don't have any proof in the scriptures of where these guys were really in their theological and religious understanding of Judaism. Of course, they were Jews, and they were raised up from little bitty children to keep the 613 ordinances, and they, you know, it was drilled in them. But look what that had produced in the end of that world, what condition that religion was in. And Brother Johnson asked the question a few weeks ago in Bible study, if because there's some beliefs and that the disciples were young. Some even say some of them were teenagers. I've read where some people think John was 16 years old. I highly doubt that. They try to use things like that he laid on the Lord's breast. You know, he was just a boy. Well, he was a young man. We know that, but we don't know how young. You know, how young is young? You know, Jesus was 30 before he started his ministry. A priest had to be 30 years old. But maybe some of them were in their late teens or early 20s. I don't doubt that. But after Christ died and was resurrected, I know there were some young people that God stirred up. And I just know that God can touch. I ran into some young people in the Dominican Republic. This was sort of amazing to me. I ran into some teenagers. And they were in the Dominican Republic from America, and they said, there's over 300 of us. And we just have a desire to see the gospel of Jesus Christ to get out among young people. God transfers some of that over into the body of Christ. I said, well, where's your parents? They said, well, they're home. But they gave us permission. There's 300 of us that are just sold out. I thought, wow. I told them, I said, I want some information about y'all. See, you can talk about this, but if God doesn't take things, like the Shulamite, you know, she even said to the daughters of Jerusalem, wake not my beloved until he be pleased. See, there's a time that God works in, and we may, I think in the body of Christ, we talk the ideal, and we project the ideal. We project the end of our vision, and you can't get there yet. We talk a lot about perfection, but I hadn't met anybody that I think made it. I still think you got to strive to make it. One of these days, somebody's going to go behind the veil, and so. It takes God to help you to gain strength. And what did he say? Settle, strengthen, and establish. To get established. When you get strengthened, you're moving into the pillar place. When you've got enough strength that you're not only settled, but, and what that means is, how settled are you? See, you got to get this for yourself. You young people, you can't live on what you've heard or what mom and daddy's done. But there comes a time that it's got to be mine. I've got to know what I believe and whom I believe. It's my relationship with God, and it's rather not how well I'm established. Am I going to move the earmarks? Am I going to move the boundaries that the body of Christ and the ministry has set up? See, young people, that goes on in their minds. They're not sure for sure. That's because they're not settled. You've got to get settled. It's got to become yours. But I really believe that God can help young people be settled at a very young age if they focus on it and they really desire it. You have to seek God for it. It don't just come automatic, but anything you want in life, you're going to have to put forth some effort to get it. If you're not careful and you just are lackadaisical, you'll find yourself in places where you'll just, you know, you just let things happen. In other words, you're not making things happen. You're just letting things come your way, and you just experience things and you compromise. And before you long, your compromise turns into a prison. And the thing about God is that you, when you make compromises, it's not, like I said here recently, God doesn't get in your life overnight. It's little by little. It's line on line, line upon line. It takes time. I do think you can shorten it if you focus and you dedicate yourself and you ask God to help you to get in your life what He wants there. I do believe what Brother Finnicum said. This is all hinges on your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You've got to develop a relationship with Him. It's not a relationship with man. It's not, although God does have an order, He has a ministry that you can't get to God without the gifts of the ministry, because He gave that for the perfecting of the saints. So you got to work in God's order and you've got to honor how God's doing it. But it's all for every man to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And it's until they gave gifts for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, till. You don't need all that once you get established. You know, once you get finally to a place that God's got a hold of your life, the more God gets a hold of your life, the less counsel, the less guidance, the less teaching, the less understanding that you're ever going to need. Because when you make the bride, you're going to be a ruler. You won't need somebody ruling you, because you'll understand rulership. You'll understand leadership. You'll understand what it takes to help others, to lead others into righteousness. And so it's until. Every one of us has got to go to that place. Paul said something similar in 1 Thessalonians 5 that Peter was saying when he said, it's in the 23rd verse, where he said, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body," there he covered it, "your whole spirit, soul, and body." You've got three, there's three different categories that makes up the human being. You've got a body, you got to do something with it. You know, it's the vehicle that your mind gets around in. If you just had a mind, you know, if you just had a head, you wouldn't do very good. You know, you could talk, but if you don't do any walking, well, then ain't nobody going to believe what you're saying. So your body is the vehicle for your mind. It's what manifests your behavior and what's going on in your mind. And, you know, it is amazing. You can watch. You can listen to people and you can watch what people do. And somebody said action speaks louder than words. And so you have a body, and the soul here is the intellect. It's the seat of your affection. It's your It's the intellectual part, the real you. You're, you know, I don't know. Religion has some way figured out. The way I always pictured it in religion was is that I had a soul some way, Brother Tally, but the thing could, it could be separate from me. You know, that's how they taught us out there, that your soul could, you know, would live on forever. It's going to go somewhere when you die. When I got in here and y'all began to nail these scriptures down for me, I began to realize the soul ain't going anywhere. The soul is you. You die, body, soul, and spirit, unless you're an overcomer. You don't move out. If you don't move out alive, soul, and I know that's not a biblical term, but I do know you can put off this house. You can live forever if you're an overcomer, and you can get a new body. And your soul, your very being, your mind, your makeup, your mind can have a new vehicle, a righteous mind, an overcoming mind, a mind that is just, thinks like God. When you see the person in that state, they're just like the Father, just like Jesus said. When you see Him, and so, but it's going to take a mind, a transformed mind. That's why I'm saying this often, so you get what I'm saying. You can't keep a law and become an overcomer. You can't keep a commandment. You can't work hard enough to be an overcomer. It's going to take God doing something in your life. You can make yourself available to God. You can be diligent. You can dedicate yourself. You can seek God. You can let Him know how much you want more of Him. And I'll promise you, if you're sincere in that, you're going to get more of Him. You're going to get closer to Him. You're going to know Him better. He's going to reveal things to you. Revelation is going to come in your life. But you're not going to work hard enough to get it. God's going to give it to you because He loves you and He's making it available to you. And He sent Christ here for that very purpose. He said, I'm going away. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you might be. Jesus came that you could be where He was while He was right here on the earth, living a life above sin. Living a sinful life, having enough power of God, being established in God in such a way that you could live above sin. Without, that don't make you an overcomer. Adam lived above sin till he did sin, but he wasn't perfect, and he didn't have eternal life. And you and I'll have to live above sin before we ever reach perfection. God will have to give you enough power to put sin, the sin nature, down and live in a garden condition with God until it's finally finished. The work of God is finally finished in your life. God will preserve you blameless. Dear God, how would you like for God to work something in you to where you're preserved from sin? It's not working in you any longer. You finally got established to a place that sin cannot work. If it pops its head up, you'll stamp your foot on it every time. You'll recognize it the minute it starts to work in your mind. You won't compromise. You won't give in to it. You'll recognize it. God's Spirit in you will quicken it to you, and you'll know exactly what spirit that's of, what part of your mind that's coming from, or if it's an outside influence. There's outside influences. You've got to be, you know, part of this is your relationship with God and how you respond to the Word of God. How God's Word is coming into your life and how you respond to it. You reject it. You try to get around it. You get around and under it. I know. I've been a kid. I've been a young person. I've been a young adult. I'm getting to be an old man. But I know how it works. I know how this works in the human mind and in our spirit. And you can't hide from God. All of you go home tonight and read the 139th Psalm. He knows your thoughts. He goes up in front of you. And he goes behind you. You can't go back where you've been. There ain't no way you can go back where you've been once God touched your life. You can go back to a hog pen, but you're never going to be the same because you're going to know God touched my life. And before I came back here to where I was, I didn't know where I was when I was there. Or, you know, not like I know today. Once God touches your life, you can't never go back. Because you've got an awareness. And God's going to require something out of your life. That condemnation's continually on you. He that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it's sin. God's going to, he'll deal with you. You're his child. He's going to deal with you. So, but there is outside influences also, not just your response to the Word of God, but other influences of the world. Matter if it's on Facebook or in Jason's Deli. Don't matter where it influences or how, or if it's on the television or radio or wherever it's at, there's outside influences that are hitting your life all the time, and you have to deal with them. And you have to know God's concerned about how you deal with it. And then there's religious influence. Religious ideology. They don't all have to come from out here in some religious circle or some religious arena. Some of it comes right here in your brain. You get to thinking, you know, I don't know if I agree with the body of Christ. I don't know if I agree with the ministry. You know, we had a situation here just a few years ago that this body had to judge, and I'm going to tell you right now, it hurt this. Because there's a bunch of people that compromise in their minds with it, and they did not stand with God's ministry, and they still don't believe that the ministry is right on what they did. I'll guarantee you they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. When you stand up against the men of God that God puts in leadership in the body of Christ, who do you think you are? I wouldn't have dared stood against that. I had enough put in my mind. If I didn't agree, I just had to say I put it on the shelf, but I stand with God's ministry. Because I found out a long time ago, God's the one that sets up kings and he puts them down. He's the one that puts people in leadership. And they're put there, Romans 13, they're put there for us. God has an authority. May not be a perfect authority, but it's the best authority he's got. When you try to compromise that and wiggle around in your mind and figure out how you can think that you're better and more wise and know more than these men of God that have suffered and gave their lives for this gospel and tried to hold it pure, and people want to compromise it, degrade it, and make it, belittle it, and make it something less than what it is. Dear God, I think we're losing ground. I don't think we're gaining ground. We don't need men to compromise and tear down. We need some men to hold up righteousness in the body of Christ. We're losing ground. This body, the world's coming in this body. We need men that's willing to stand. I know it's not, you know, it's not going to take fighting. It's not going to take a fighting spirit. It's not going to take men that won't waver. But I just know. I look and I see. I see what the world's done to people's lives. And I know God has got to touch us in some way that's going to cause us as individuals. It's going to have to touch a ministry some way that can impart something. It's going to cause us to want to rise up on another rung, another level in God. Will please him. I was thinking about that scripture tonight in the 133rd Psalm, where the power of God is in unity. How good and how pleasant is it when men come together in unity. I was thinking about that. You know how much power that gives you in the home? When a man and woman can stand together, when they could really be in unity in the principles that they're putting in their home, in their lives, and in their children. Brother, it's powerful. Let me tell you something, it's powerful. It'll affect children's lives. And when it's not there, it tears down. It corrupts. And it causes something to happen to young people that puts them through years of scars and sin that they can't hardly get free from. I know God wants us to be in unity, but it has to be righteous unity. It's got to be God's unity that he's working on. And but if our whole body and soul, our spirit will be, it's not going to become blameless until our mind gets to a place, the vehicle of this body. When our mind gets purified, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we are called. Right now, the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him when he appears. You can't believe that when Jesus comes here and appears, that's going to make you like him. That's not talking about him physically coming. He's got to appear in your life. He's got to appear in my life. He's got to become me. I've got to think like him. I've got to get in unity with God through this operation of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God transforming my mind, my soul. And my body will begin to do what God put in my mind to do. And my spirit will bear witness with that. It'll be the aura. And it'll be the behavior felt. Our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know he's coming. He is coming one day for his bride, and he's coming in judgment. But I know that he's got to have to come in my life for me to be a partaker of that physical coming. When the bride's made up, the Lord's going to have to come in my life for me to be in that coming that makes up his bride. And so I just know that the Lord, you know, he's asking us to be pillars. He's asking us to be strong, be the strength of the body. And it's going to take being established to be able to do that. And it's going to take God to help us there. Because, you know, I mean, things happen to people. You can't say, I'm never going to leave this. I'm never going to fall. Not unless you attach. But by the grace of God. It's going to take God's grace continually working in my life and helping me to be more what he wants me to be. Dear God, I want to be more like him this year than I was last year. I still have room for improvement. Don't you? There's still room for improvement. Hallelujah. So, let me get back down from here. Some of these folks from Jacksonville may want to say something. I don't want to shut them out. I didn't mean to talk as long as I did, but I got what I said, what I wanted to say, said, so. I mean, I didn't know I was going to say it, but after I got up here, I finally got my heart delivered to you, so. But look, I've got confidence in y'all because you're here, you've been here, you're still here, and you proved your faithfulness. And so I've just got confidence you're going to keep on working for the Lord. But let's ask him this year. Would y'all join me in asking him, God, let us get closer to you this year. Let us come up into another level. Let us affect other people's lives more than we have this year. I just think that there's something in that we're missing, that it's getting to be time. I think there's people out here in this world that want what we've got. They're hungry for it. They may not know what it is altogether. But let me tell you something. When they come in those doors back there, if you think they're going to sit down on those pews and just think, woo-wee, I found home. There won't be one in a thousand that'll do that. But if you will not just go shake their hand, but find out where they live, where they work, call them on the phone, invite them out to eat, bring them over to your house, be patient with them, become their friend, love them and treat them good until they take their wall down. Everybody's a little got a wall. You know, you're not just going to come into my life until I feel like you're okay. When I take my wall down, then you can talk to me different than you can talk to me when it's up. How many of you got it in your mind that you're going to win somebody to Christ this year? If God will help me, I'm going to win somebody. I'm going to find somebody that wants what I've got. You ought to ask God anyway, Lord, would you use me in that capacity? I don't know that God uses everybody in that capacity, but I know that there's somebody he'll use in that capacity that's not being used there. Because there are just too few of people. It's just not in our makeup to do that. I'd like to try it anyway. I'd like for some of you to try it with me. I have done it several times, and I've proved that it can be done. I've had Bible studies in my homes. There's people sitting in this church that I won to God. I reached out to them one-on-one, spoon-fed them, loved them, treated them good, went to their house, drug them everywhere that I could drag them to. And then one day I saw the light go off in their head and saw them get a vision of the body of Christ. And there is no greater feeling than to know somebody got this wonderful gospel and this wonderful life of God. There just isn't any greater feeling. I've done that. I've took people to meetings. I've watched, sat on the platform of the ministry and picked out, you know, my little disciple. And I've seen them when the lights went off in their brain. And I thought, hallelujah. Praise God, they got something. I watched them come home. Talk about what God did for them. The vision that they got of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And watched it change their lives. You remember when it changed yours? Just waiting for you to touch them and impart what you've got to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to be here tonight.
More than anything, I want to be like Jesus.
such a privilege that the Lord allowed us to come this way, and thankful for Brother and Sister Smith that they did let us tag along. I don't know how many trips we went on with them in their van, and probably didn't pay a dime to help with the gas or anything at that time, and they were just so kind and generous to allow us to do that. And I just was sitting here thinking how thankful I am that God let us come this way. Such a privilege to be in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for this vision He's gave me. Thankful for our visitors tonight, and that I'm sure it wasn't something simple for them to come and visit with us tonight after being here for the funeral, but we appreciate that so much that they thought enough of us to come. And when Sister Cindy started singing that song, to be a pillar in the house of the Lord, I thought of that Sunday, and I almost asked her and Sister Jody if we could try to sing it, but I think someone else sang or something. Anyway, I didn't do it, but if you don't mind, I was just going to read the verses to that song also. Verse 1 is, let me lay down my strife today, give all that I have, and pray. Show love toward another and help build my brother and be a pillar in the house of the Lord. In your kingdom I long to be, not caring what life may bring. I'll work in your order and help build the garner and be a pillar in the house of the Lord. And that's my desire tonight, to be a pillar in the house of the Lord. I know I should be a lot farther down this road than I am right now, and I'm just asking the Lord to help me more. And I didn't quite make my Bible reading. I know Sister Rhonda finished a few days early. I'm on the 15th of December. So I'm determined I'm going to do it, though. I'll just catch up in January where I'm supposed to be. But I don't know. Just I've been praying for a long time that the Lord would give me a desire to read the Bible more. It's always, I hate to say this, but it's been kind of like a chore, and I know that's not right. I'm 58 years old. I should have a love for the Word of God, but here lately, when I've been reading, it's really meant something to me, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. I prayed for a long time, God, please just give me a love for your Word, and He's doing that now, and I just want to tell Him how thankful I am, and I don't want to lose that. I want to put God first. Don't turn off the TV and sit down and read, even if you're sleepy. In fact, I've done that a couple times. Like Brother Smith said, just tell that old man, you know, if you don't sit up and listen or stay awake, I'm going to make you stand up and do this. I've done that a couple times. But just have appreciation in my heart tonight for the Lord and for the body of Christ.
God, I'm Brother Leland Anderson. Being raised in the body, I know what those pauses mean when you have company. And everybody's trying not to look over and look at you, but I do thank God to be here tonight. And wanted Sister Smith to know that we kept your husband, and you'll be happy to know you did a good job training him. He was one of the most gracious guests we've ever had in our home. No matter what we tried to do, he assured us it wasn't necessary and he didn't need anything special, and we really did enjoy having him. So he represented himself well. He represented your training well while he was with us. But I do thank God for the body of Christ. The Lord brought my dad when I was 9, and I was just a 9-year-old kid, and I came along for the excitement and the new kids I had never met. It was very, you know, as children do, that was the extent of my world, was meeting some new friends, and we were going to a city I had never been to, and I'd never traveled, so I thought this was just, we lived in a little town called Lake City, which was about 75 miles from Jacksonville, and through a series of events, the Lord added my dad to the assembly in Jacksonville, so we were traveling back and forth to this different city, and it was just a big adventure for me. And when I was 12, though, God really, really touched my life and gave me an awareness. And then when I was 15, I received the Holy Ghost. And it changed. It began to change my mind. It began to change who I was, what was important to me. And Brother Smith referenced tonight that we in the body, we preach the, or we teach the ideals. And I hear Brother Dial say that often, that don't take away the ideals. Let us have something to strive for. Let's strive for the ideal, knowing that it's the grace of God and it's His strength, not ourselves, that are going to be able to accomplish it. But don't remove the ideal, because then what do we have to strive for? What separates us? And it was such a relief to come here tonight and to hear the familiar songs and feel the Spirit of God and to hear that message ring out of perfection, of a church restored, of a ministry restored together. And I know how it does us in Jacksonville when we get visitors, and I want you to know how it does us to come to your assembly and sit here and feel that family, feel that body spirit. And I want to thank you all for holding that and for keeping the torch burning here. And the last time I was here, someone had asked me had I been here, and I actually had, and I'm trying to calculate. It was either 1986 or 1987. So, yeah, I've been here before. It's been a long, long time. I was a teenager, and we were on a school trip and came by, and they did a lock-in one night at the gym, and we spent the night over. I'm sure some of you will probably remember that. I was one of the unruly ones that they – and I know they did. I know my pastor probably pointed me out and said, whoever's in here, watch that guy. But God has kept me in spite of my best efforts to ruin myself, and He's kept me here. I've never left the body of Christ, and I've never quit serving Him. And I thank Him for His grace and His mercy that has kept me, because it is the Lord that has kept me. And I do thank you, people.
Mike is over here. I'm thankful to be here with y'all, too. And we got the address from Sister Finnicum so we could come and be with God's people. And that song, To Be a Pillar, is one of my favorite songs, too. And I'm a person that can be down on myself, but that line that says, if I'll walk uprightly and be faithful until I'm holy. And I can't do a lot about the holy sometimes, but I can be faithful, and God's grace will help me with what I can't do. And I grew up in the body. My mom came when I was 3. And but Brother Smith, I had to get it for myself. And you get spoiled sometimes growing up. You can take it for granted. And it can be just something you just hear. You know, we hear it all the time. We don't understand some of, you know, what's the big deal about this? You know, some of the things that as a teenager, I didn't understand what the issue was. Now that I have children of my own, I'm like, preach it, you know. I understand, because it became mine. And if we can just understand that they're just trying to protect you and keep you through until it can become yours, and God can reveal it to you. I was at a meeting, and I had some rough teenage years, and I was at a meeting in Houston, and I'll never forget this, because I was down front with the other young people, but I was a little hard, and I would feel it, but I would just, you know, resist it. And Sister Robin Liniger walked over to me. She said, I don't know you, and I don't know where you're from. She says, but I can see you're struggling. And she said, and if you'll just give in, this will be the best life you can ever live. And I gave in, not that moment, but it stuck with me. And God's people are so important. And I'm thankful that He's kept me, because it's nothing I have done. But He's His grace, and I thank Him every day for His grace and for having parents that instilled this in my life, and for His ministry. I've tried to instill that in my children, because there were times I just didn't understand what the ministry was saying, but it had been drilled into me. They're God's, and if you'll just do what they say, it's not my to decide if they're right or wrong. It's mine to do what they say, and it will work out for you. God will take care of them if they need to be taken care of, but if you just listen and obey, it will work out for you. And that's always been in my life. When Brother Dow would tell me some things sometimes, I'd be like, I don't see, but I had that faith and confidence, and it might have been 6 months, a year down the road, but it worked out. And that is so important, and I'm just thankful that God seen fit to choose me, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm just thankful.
First of all, I want to say I'm not an eloquent speaker like my brother, so don't expect too much. But I'm not thankful for the circumstances that brought me here, but I'm thankful that there was an oasis I could come to in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm glad that I was able to sit down at a table with y'all tonight and eat the Word of God that Brother Smith brought forth to us. The main thing about the body is that we draw strength from each other. And I drew strength from you tonight, Brother Smith. I've got a lot of grandkids in the body, and I pray for them all the time. And I see some of them growing so strong in the Lord, and that makes my heart leap with joy. And then I see other ones that are struggling, but I know there's a chance that if they just keep their minds and their ears open to what the ministry has to say, and like my daughter said, we don't always understand it when it's coming across, but if we just do the will of God and the will of the ministry, I know many times I thought, Brother Dow, you've got to be kidding me. And people would say, just listen to him and you'll see. And like she said, you don't always see it right then, but God will reveal it to you eventually. And I first started out in the Sterling Assembly under Brother Welch, and circumstances took me to Brother Dial, and he was brave enough to take it on. And he's kept me for almost 30 years, so I guess I'm doing okay, or else he is, one or the other. But I'm thankful that I was able to be here with you tonight. We weren't really sure what night you had services, but Brother Finnicum was aware, and he let us know and everything. And it was a joy to be with my family today, because they're not the body, but they have the Lord in their hearts, and it was like a nice, clean visit. You know, sometimes it's rare that you can get that when you're with your family, but it was a really good visit. My aunt that passed away and my uncle were my mother's brother and sister-in-law, and we were raised in the church that they were in all of our lives, but it was my aunt and uncle that put the Word of God and the love for God in my heart. It wasn't my parents, because we would go out of church and my mother would light up her cigarette or, you know, whatever, and we'd be there for every service, but the life wasn't lived in my home. But all the time I seen the light shining in my aunt and uncle. And so I just had to be here with him at this time. You know, they meant so much to me. And the whole time I was growing up, even when I walked away from God, they were always there for me. I could call them on the phone and say, I need to talk to you, or could you please just come by and pick me up this Sunday for church? And they were always there, so I just had to be here. But it makes it so much better, like I said, to have an oasis where I could be with my family of God to strengthen me and help me along on my walk with the Lord. And I'm just really thankful that we were able to be here for his service.
My name is Eric Anderson, and I'm just glad to be here and have God protect us on our way home.
All right, Eric, you see, you'll go home and Brother Dial will say, did you say anything? You'll say, yes, sir. I testified. He'll say, how about your sisters? and they all kind of look down, won't they? Well, just tell them, girls. Just say, Brother Smith got up and cut us off before we could say anything. I'm going to redeem you tonight, all right? Praise God. All right. Yes, it is. Ever get a chance, and you hadn't been to Brother Dial's church, you need to go there. Been there a few times when there wasn't a meeting. And it's just an enjoyment to be there. Good people. Praise God. All right, you want to stand and give God a praise before we go home? Thank God for electricity. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your great grace, oh God. God, watch over the Andersons and Sister Smith as they travel home. Protect them. Keep your hand on them, oh God. Bless their family here and their loss. Comfort them, Lord. Oh God, we give you praise. We love you. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly.